this is the ship that started it all. This is Bering's flagship, St. Peter. This a watercolor, I guess, on parchment, on a charter granting nobility to Bering's second in command, Sven Waxel. The flag is the flag of the Imperial Navy, the flag of St. Andrew, which today is also the emblem of anti-communist resistance in Russia. In the front is the flag of Bering, who is a commodore, of course. Okay? This is St. Paul, commanded by Chirikov. This is the ship that at Ada traded for water and got the first Allied helmet. Sven Waxel, I believe, made this drawing of the Aleut who approached Bering's ship near the Shumagin Islands, near Unga. This is the first drawing of an Aleut kayak. And as you notice, he has a little visor, and he carries a staff with a bird at the head. For some reason, the symbol of Aleut male was for birds of the sea. This is a drawing by another member of the expedition, Lieutenant Hitrova, of the same men. And if you will notice the bow, this is the male Aleut kayak, and some that stick over there is to prevent the seaweeds clogging the opening there. Some people say that the kayak represented the killer whale. I have not found the evidence that this is so. Okay. This is Catherine the Great. It was during her reign that the expansion into Alaska really took place. It began under Queen Anne and then Queen Elizabeth, but really took hold in the reign of Catherine the Great. She died in 1796. This is a drawing of a Navy ship sailing to the Aleutians from a map that was done between 1769 and 1774. So I imagine that this is the ship of Limashov or Krinitsyn. All it says is government vessel. That's the map, portions of which were used as a jacket. Lieutenant Limashov, who wintered here in Captain's Bay, it is for him that Captain's Bay is named, drew this Aleut house, and you can see several top entrances, and then the Aleut house in a crosscut. This was done right here in Captain's Bay. This is an Aleut in a kayak from the island of Unimak. and I don't know if it's my imagination, Levashov drew several kayaks, and it seems to me that this kayak is a little bit different than the ones he drew in Alaska. This is Levashov's drawing of an Unalaskan alley in a kayak, and you can see he drew the carcass on top. This is interesting because the drip skirt, there's one in the case there. The drip skirt is in the indicator. And you can see how the Aleuts attach the drip skirt over the shoulder with a button. And I'm mentioning this because we're going to see later on an example of Aleut cordage with a marvelous decorated button. I don't know what they are saying. As I say, they say that it, some say that it's supposed to represent killer whale. I don't know. As you can see, this is from the dust jacket. This is the fur trader ship. This is the ship in which Promyshniki sailed to the Aleutians. And they are flying a flag of the merchant marine. This is from the same jacket. It's wrong way too, but that's okay. You see the same bow, and it says, an American.
Make a good postcard.
And this says, Americans hunting sea otters. And unfortunately, the slide doesn't show. If you, you can look to the right of the slide, you can see that little line.
Yes.
That's a duck that hit a sea otter. The man who made the slides didn't get the sea otter in. But again, there is the drip skirt, and they are wearing the kamalekas. Look at these marvelous mustaches, and of course the hunting hats.
What's the year of this, Lydia?
The latest date is 1774, the earliest is around 1769. Mike Krause and I, we have written to the Soviet Union, it's in the Foreign Ministry archives. This says, Aleuts in a Baidara hunting sea lion. That's from the same map. And you can see, because they remark as that the Russians, when they used oars in their skin boats, they sat with the back to the bow and rowed their paddle. I would like to know who drew that map. And you see, they contrasted the Aleut Baidara with the Russian Baidara, which had a mast and a sail, and was not as large. This is a drawing by John Weber in 1778 here in Alaska. I think that he painted most of his drawings, sketched his drawings, in Kalechta Bay. This lives in the National Library in London, and it's a marvelous portrait of the young Aleut. This you probably have seen and has been reproduced many times and appeared in the atlas that was published with the account of Cook's expedition, except you see only the torso, the face and the head and the torso. The original shows the man almost full length. And this is, incidentally, this is a work-a-day birdskin parka. They were worn with the bird feathers to the body, the skin side. The festive ones were marvelously decorated. And then they had fur strips from the seams. Now this woman, again, this was drawn by Weber, and in the atlas only her head and shoulders are shown. The original drawing is full length. And this is a matron in her, again, everyday working clothes, probably a fur parka, skin side out, and that thing hanging in front, those are puffin beaks.
Where was that painted?
Kalechta Bay, I think. Oops. In 1790, the Russian Navy was here again. And Luka Voronin was the staff artist. Where is it? Anybody? It's Dutch.
Yeah. You're here. Can't see the bed.
Pardon?
Your belly boots.
Pardon?
Somewhere belly boots? Looking down into Captain's belly.
Yeah. This is another example of the artists who came with the Russian Navy. All of those kayaks are the so-called male kayaks. Aleut kayaks come in two varieties, male and female. This was done by Pavel Mikhailov, the staff artist with the Muller-Lipke expedition in 1828. And it shows the single hatch, and it's the other way around, because here he appears throwing the dart with the left hand. And the three hatch by Darka. And again, you see those drip skirts. You can see here very well how the drip skirts are attached so they don't slip and the kayak is watertight. This I lifted from a book published in 1910, The Alaskan Artifacts. I wanted to show you the variety of the throwing sticks. The straight ones are from Unalaska, all of them. And you can see how it varies. There are some that have well-defined palm grip. Others are flatter. 1, 2, 3, 4. Fifth from the right is from Kodiak. And the ones on the left are from Bristol Bay. And also, I like this picture because it shows that the throwing stick was a valuable possession. As you can see, there is a sheath and a tongue, and I imagine that the warrior carried it over his shoulder. But the throwing stick, we all have seen pictures of the throwing sticks on deck of a kayak, but on land they were carried in those sheets. And that's why I included this here, just to show the variety. And this was painted by an unknown artist, maybe by the wife of Governor Wrangell, Mrs. Wrangell. And it represents the three main groups of natives of Russian Alaska. On your right is an Aleut from Fox Island. This painting is interesting to me because it shows the Kamleika, how long it is, the decoration. It shows the man's toolkit bag that he wore over his shoulder. And we have a lot of those bags in the museums. And it also shows how the Aleut paddles were colored. The Aleuts, incidentally, were the only ones in Alaska to use a double-edged paddle. The Konyak used a single-blade paddle. The man in the middle is a Konyak man of high rank, and he is wearing a cormorant parka with feathers out. This is Sunday go-to-meeting kind of thing. That was not worn every day. And the man on the left is a Tlingit, and it is considered that this is probably the earliest representation of what is now known as Chilkat blanket. You can see that it's very well done. I wish we knew who the artist was. It's not later than 1828. Oh, where's my...
Oh,
here it is. Now, those are paintings by an artist named Mikhail Tikhanov. He was staff artist with the Navy ship Kamchatka, commanded by Captain Golovnin. And this is the same person painted in emphase and in profile, and he put on the hat. This is a more or less festive Kamleika of a ranking Aleut man. And this man is, if I can read it, He is from Unimak Island, and his name is Umasik, and he was baptized Vasily. Now we're going to look at some Kodiak people's portraits. This is a man from Kodiak. His name is Asvachtak, and he was baptized Martin. You can see that the Konyaks had different hats, very much Tlingit types. They had nose pins, which the chain Aleuts didn't. Look at their earrings. The Aleut men did not wear those Vintalium shell earrings. And then the from the labret hangs again the Italian shell and I presume glass beads, because this is 1818 we're talking about. A very, very distinct items of personal adornment. And I'm showing it so that you can contrast this with the Aleut portraits. Okay. Also, I love those paintings. This is the chief Nankok of Kodiak Island, baptized Nikita. He is holding a rattle, or which the Aleuts didn't have. And this rattle is identical to the rattles used by the Kamchadals. You can see the cross pieces and the puffin beaks all around the rim. His hair is decorated with down, eagle down, and he has a feather headdress. Non-Aleut at all, much more Indian. Though his parka, the cut, somewhat resembles the Aleut, but not exactly. This is the chief of Ugak Bay on Kodiak. Again, you can see he is wearing nose pins, the traditional Konyak earrings, and his face is painted and tattooed or scarified across the cheeks. On his neck, he is wearing a silver medal, which in 1790, the Willing Sarachev expedition was giving to the village leading man. I like this one again because it shows that there was a substantial difference in the dress of the people of Kodiak as compared to the dress of the Aleuts. This probably is a ground squirrel or land animal kind of parka, but do you see how differently the sleeves are made? Those flaps that are hanging down and undershirt and so on. The dress of Kodiak men apparently was very, very different than the dress of the Aleuts of the chain. Okay. This is the chief of Afognak Island. Again, you can see facial tattoos and the traditional Konyak adornments. This is a Konyak in a festive dress. This is cormorant. This is cormorant feather dress. The cormorants were used when they plumage was sort of iridescent. And I have seen those in museums in Europe. And they're bluish-green highlights. They're just absolutely gorgeous. And he is demonstrating the throw of the Atle Atle. Remember, we were talking about it yesterday. But do look behind him. Behind him is a man who is discharging a bow. Please note the bow and the way he draws the bow, because later on I'll show you an Aleut from Atka drawing a bow, and the manner of drawing a bow is totally different. It's a different technique of shooting bow and arrow. This woman's name is Tamaya. Oh, excuse me. This is a Kodiak Island whaler, and you will see that the bow of his kayak is different from the ones that we were seeing before. This painting has been bastardized and reproduced in sort of composite pictures. One of them is Demofra, which is just awful. It is taken from this. But this slide is made from an original watercolor. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Chicana was a marvelous artist. And this is Tamaima from Kodiak Island. And again, the dress of the Kodiak woman is different. The way she adorns her face is different than the woman of the chain. And her hairdo is different. And this is a girl eating sea urchins, and her name is Chivinchuk. And she has lip ornaments. And this is a girl of high rank from Agamak Island in a festive headdress that I have seen only one description, that in Eastern Aleutians too, women of rank, when they greeted arriving guests, wore a headdress. I have never seen an example of a headdress from the Aleutian chain, but on Kodiak, This is a girl from Ugamak Island. Her name was Pamesinak, and she was baptized Anna. And she wears a high status hat. Chief's daughter, for sure. Now we're moving into Alaska Peninsula. This is a chief from the Eastern Alaskan Peninsula named Ayachuk. He was baptized at Grey. And while the headdress somewhat reminds us of the headdress of the Konyak chief from Kodiak Island, his robe is cut totally differently. Different people, different, they're saying, we are us, not you. Alaska Peninsula was inhabited by more than one group. And this is a native of Alaska Peninsula, probably from Ugashik River area. And what is interesting, it is the scarification on the chest and also the hairdo. Again, people proclaim their identity by different hairdos, different dress, and different method of personal adornment. This should be entitled The Neighbors of the Elements. This is, of course, Alexander Baranov, painted by the same man, Tikhanov, at Sitka. He set for a portrait in 1818. I suppose he's very much prettied up. Normally he wore a parka, and he skippered his own ship, so I don't think he wore those clothes.
Unless fishing was different there too.
This is Baranov's right hand. This is a man named Kuskov, again in his Sunday go-to meeting dress. And I'm told that in Kodiak this day, mothers say to the children, if you don't behave, Kuskov will get you. He belonged to the school of thought that the end justifies the means. He founded Fort Ross in California for Baranov and ran a very tight ship. I'm throwing those in so you can put faces to the names. We're dealing with real people. This is the flag of the Russian-American Company. I know that many of you have read that the company had its own flag. This is it. Double-headed eagle, because in 1400s, after the fall of Constantinople, the Duke of Moscow married the only surviving daughter of the Emperor of Byzantium after the Turks had taken Constantinople, and she brought the double-headed Roman Empire eagle as her symbol to Russia. Any guesses? This is 1842. You really don't know what it is?
Background's too faint.
Pardon?
Background's too faint.
No.
It's a pyramid.
This is a mill in the lake in the hills. Yeah, right here. To Bud Burns. That's a flour mill. It's in Alaska.
Right?
Yeah.
What is the source of that?
Lydia, what was the source of that picture?
Vodnesensky, meaning dragon.
Painted by a scholar from the Imperial Academy of Sciences. His material has never been published. It's in the archives of the Soviet Union. I thought somebody surely will recognize. Where are we? This was painted by Henry W. Elliott, who married an Anna Milavida of St. Paul.
Is it backwards?
I think so.
Port Leadership.
What?
Port Leadership, isn't it? Captain's Bay?
Yeah.
Is that a question on the back?
I know, I saw it.
Yeah.
It's right there at the Wakefield plant.
I think they're standing out by the dump.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that is, because the way the mountain's going in the side, that's on the other side of Captain's Bay. That's over by Nateen's around the corner.
That was done in 1880s, and as you can see, the Aleuts are paddling in the Baidarkas all over the place there. Okay, now we're changing gears here. Those are ivory carvings from Atka Island, collected by Arvid Etolin, who was a Finn, a Russian Navy officer, and eventually he came to Alaska as a midshipman of about 14 years of age, and he stuck, and he eventually became governor of Alaska. And he collected very extensively, and his early collection is mostly lost when the old capital of Finland, Turku, burned. And Helsinki was built, and he made a special collection for the new National Museum of Finland, which was established about 1846 or so in the new capital of Helsinki. And I'm going to show the animal carvings first, because Atkan ivory sculpture is extremely realistic, but I also want you to see that we have here represented more than one artist.
How big were those?
Pardon?
How big were those?
They are about, 2 inches. You see, this is, I think that this was done by a different carver, this pair of whales. The museum photographer says a whale is a whale, so he photographed them in groups. All of those carvings are from Atka, and all of them between 1828 and 1847. I like the walrus. Mm-hmm. I don't know what this animal is.
Otter.
Whatever you want it to be.
Yeah, the Atkins and the Antunes carved the otter on land. See, this is the same animal, and I think it's done by a different hand. There is a sea otter on land. And they are humorous. Wait until you see a sea otter swimming. I think. This is one poor whale, I think, is on its side over there. They didn't know how to hold him. And then, of course, we have the two killer whales. And one of the killer whales is breakfasting on a seal, I think. collection of Ethelyn's ivories from Afka has several groups. I like this one. Somebody is skinning a seal. I can't decide if that other body is another dead seal or if it's a decoy. But the two heads sticking out, this is the seal population saying what's happening here. I have seen this in original, and the faces in those seals are marvelous. They're saying, what's going on? Okay, what do you think this is? It's breakfast. Somebody is eating blubber or fish and cutting it up with a knife. This is two men having a dinner. One is dipping his spoon into the square dish that the Aleuts used, and the other is sticking the spoon into his mouth, and their faces say, gee, this is a good meal. Nobody ever mentioned, you call this dip nets, I presume, but here we are. There it is. I have heard say that the Russians introduced the club to the Aleutians. Well, Father Nitsvetov tells us that the ancient method of clubbing sea otter by grabbing its tail and then hitting it on the head has been abandoned in favor of more advanced methods. And here is the sculpture. And I love the sea otter. Yeah. He's going to bite. I would like you to look at those. Those are wrestlers. They're naked. In 1853, a man named Holmberg collected similar sculptures on Atka, and he collected a figurine of wrestlers. They were clothes. This is a photograph of ivory sculptures Holmberg collected in Atka, and some of them do not exist anymore. They were lost. And I made a slide from this black and white photograph just to show that, for example, in the center is the same kind of a grouping, a man skinning a seal, and the seals in the sea watching. A killer whale eating a seal. The thematic content remains the same. And look at the left, next to that ivory kayak, is a pair of wrestlers. They are dressed. Well, no. The old one is between 1828 and 1840. This one was collected in 1853. Mm-hmm. Values changed.
That top one, was that the man from the bowl? Mm-hmm.
Those are two ivory kayak models from Atka in the Ethelyn collection. And you can see this long, elongated visor and the open crown. This is an ivory model of a man in a kayak in 1853. Totally different hand here involved, different style.
Only in Unalaska the kayak was split, or on the Aleutian chain?
I think in the eastern Aleutians.
Oh, okay.
This is again a group picture of the ivories in the Danish National Museum collected by Holmberg. I did not get individual, there is this walrus and seals and all sorts of beasts. I did not get any individual pictures because many of them couldn't be located. This is 1828 or so, a man throwing a spear, and you can see that the Atkin Parka is shorter than the Eastern Elliott Parka. And it has this nice hem there. This is the same theme done by a different artist in 1853. This is 1853, and this is an archer, and you can see that he has a battle helmet on, and he has a parka on. Wait a minute, Ray, I wanted to say that you remember the ball drawn on Kodiak, mm-hmm. and the way he's drawn the ball, this is a different method, mm-hmm. totally. And the ball itself is different. From what I can say from this broken one, it's much more like the northern sinew-backed recurved ball. Much more sophisticated weapon than the one on Kodiak. This is from Atka. The one that I showed you in the beginning,
yes,
that is from Kodiak.
Yeah.
Okay, those are the Atkin drummers, and Prokofy Lysenko tells us that in comparison to Atuans, their drums are large. They all live in Finland. Here is another one. He lost his baton there.
Are those walrus skin drums that they use in Bering Strait?
Those are ivory figurines from Atka. And they're beating them from the top, which is more like the Cusco from Northern Sound. In Bering Strait and in Lawrence Island, they beat them from the bottom arm.
Are they depicting walrus skin drums or
I don't know. This is ivory. This is a ritual dancer. I would give my eyes to know what the contraption he's carrying symbolizes. He has a ritual hat on. Some of those ritual hats are preserved in Leningrad in the Museum of Ethnography. It has the Atka ritual hat, has that flap that goes forward. And this gentleman, I don't know if it's the dancing shawl he's carrying or what. But we all have heard that Aleut ritual dances were exterminated. There they are. It just nobody asked pertinent questions. This is another dancer. Unfortunately, I only have this rear view of him. He is wearing a dancing hat and he's carrying a bladder. You can see that the bladder is decorated. Again, I wish somebody would explain this to me. All we have are those marble sculptures. A third ritual dancer, again with the ritual hat, with the flap protruding. He is carrying something on his back, and he has a different kind of bladder on his hands. I do not know the meaning of those figurines at all. He has a little mustache and a beard, so he must be a very important man. This is the same dancer from the back. We have a variety of dancers represented here. This is the gentleman which is seen from the back. Again, you see the short upper garment there.
Do you happen to know of any dancing that people here wore? Things on their hands, or they'll dance then, what they do at work?
Bladders. And this is a matron. She wears two labrets, and she has two round circles, two circles tattooed on her cheeks. This is a mother of a family. She really, I think she's quite formidable. Please note her hairdo. And we want to cross her. This is the same lady.
Strong arms.
Yeah, hairstyle is really kayaking. Similar to Navajo, isn't it? How they wear their hair down there?
No. Now, this is a younger woman.
She's got the posture.
She's learning.
I think they're dancing a certain dance.
Oh.
This is still another young woman, and you can see a very different expression. And if you notice, the bladders that the women carry are different in shape than the ones that men carry. And the young women have that line tattoo over there. And this is the young woman's hairdo. Very neat, isn't it? Who is that, I wonder? That's a Russian. And he has red hair and prominent nose. And he wears a Chukchi-style parka with a hood and mittens. If we knew who was at that time an Atka, we probably could put a name to this. And here is another Russian, very different face. I think it was done by the same hand. Again, I repeat that Atka sculpture of the time is sort of realistic. It's full of character. I'm almost tempted it's a genre sculpture. Yeah. I like my Russians. Other type of sculpture was done too. I don't know if we can focus it. It's a very complex piece of work. It is a holder for a lancet blade or something, or bloodletting and on these sides, separated from the centerpiece by this geometric figure, are sea otters. But the whole impression of this, thank you, Ray, the whole impression is of, it's round. I have seen similar lancet or medicine knife holders, surgical knives holders from Kodiak, and they're done in oblongs, they're square. Kodiak sculpture has a much more feeling of being square. The Aleut one from the chain is flowing and round. And so the sea otters on the left are male, the sea otters on the right are female. That is just incredible piece of carving. This comes from the eastern end of the chain. A blade was inserted in it at the round end there. It was suspended. I included it in here because this is a female statuette with no feet. And we have Ted Bang found in a magnet a female figurine, stark naked, in a ritual hat with no feet. And I'm wondering if this is just a later variation on the same theme. The meaning of this artifact, I do not know. Now, those are Atkins sea otters. Aren't they marvelous? And this is a sea otter from Eastern Aleutians, from Alaska. Do you see the difference? Do you see why I insist that the art of various regions in the Aleutian chain follow different styles? This is another Eastern Aleutian sea otter. Yeah.
You didn't show me, huh?
No. This lives in the Soviet Union, and very stylized sea otter. But do you see what's on the what is attached to the sculpture on there? It's the blade of a spear. That sea otter has been, if not killed, mortally wounded. This tool is in the Soviet Union, and it is from the Eastern Aleutians. And highly stylized form. You can see the ribs are indicated, but not as clearly as in those much later figurines that I showed you before. This is very old, very old. This too is in the Soviet Union. Two baby sea otters. This is an Atkin ritual hat. It lives in the Soviet Union. Made of seal skin, decorated with gut. Hair of all people. Tufts of seal hair and so on. This is from a drawing. staff artist on the ship, Juna Kuziakin, published by Langsdorff. And the Ray has black and white on the exhibit here in the library. The original watercolor is in Bancroft Library in Berkeley, California. Those are ritual hats from Alaska. This is what the Aleuts here wore when dancing. Made of seal skin, decorated with gut, hair, feathers, strips of animal skin. I mentioned before that we all read that the Russians came and prohibited the Aleut dances. Hate to tell you that it was collected in 1880s in the Commander Islands by Steiniger, who went to study fur seals, and the Aleuts were dancing. And look at that strip on the back of the hat coming forward. This is the ancient Atkin style of ritual hats. That mess on the back, those are sealskin strips, and they combine gray human hair with horse tail hairs. They're in awful condition. We found them in a drawer. One of the hats couldn't even be photographed properly. There are two hats. And Nobody even knew they were there, and nobody cared. Jeez. But everybody's saying, oh, well. But there is a ritual dancing hat from Commander Islands, in Atkin style, collected in 1884. This is an Unalaska ritual hat of a different kind, and it lives in Finland. Sealskin and gut, and sinew, and feathers and hair. A hat made of gut. Here in Alaska, 160 years ago. Now, the Russian seamen wore sailors' hats. The Aleuts adopted this style, but they were made out of gut. And the hats I'm going to show you, they come from St. George. The women who made them exercised their imagination, and so no two hats are alike. That's really quite a poor specimen. I have seen absolutely splendid ones. See, this is very different. They unraveled wool cloth and used the wool instead of feathers to decorate the seams and the edges. In very old garments, it would have been feathers. Oh, 1820s. They continued to be made. And this is Unalaska, and a gathering of Aleut men on a Sunday morning, and I do believe they're wearing the same kinds of hats that I've been just showing you. This is a drawing by Vesnesensky when he visited here briefly. Those are from Atka. They're very old. They're from Finland. And Prokofy Lysenko wrote in 1761 that the Atkins had strolled grass, dried grass slippers. This is a different one. Ray, would you say that the weave is like a many large fish baskets?
Coarse.
Yeah, it's a coarse weave. This is supposed to come from a two. I have never heard anybody describe those hats except Prokofy Lysenko, who mentions that the women had round hats. It's supposed to be a hat from a two. There are three of them in Finland, collected in 1848. I mentioned a cordage made of sinew. This is a close-up of very fine sinew cordage. I don't know if we can focus on the one at the bottom. Yeah, it's interesting because it's square in crosscut. I don't know how one makes square cordage. Mm-hmm. And that thing in front, that's the button on a cord that you use to tighten up the drip skirt. In the middle, this is a decorated cord. I just photographed, I asked the curator of the Helsinki Museum to photograph a sample of cordage. Now this is from Atka, made of straw. This is called housewife. It is edged with cloth, and there is some yarn in it. Those things were made all over Alaska. It was made in an oblong, and sometimes one end was shaped in an oval form, and then folded in three, and this is where the women kept their small tools, needles, thimbles, and various other things. Anthropologists call it a housewife. It was not introduced by the Russians, even though the shape appears like a pocketbook. That's the last slide. This comes from Atka. It's a housewife. Some woman really wanted to have a nice one. I have seen the same color combination and the same design of the double zigzag on the field of blue on Kamlekas that come from Atka. I believe that this design and this color combination is characteristic of some items that were made in Atka, in gut and skin. And that's about the last slide. And I'll be happy to answer questions.
I'm not sure if I caught this right. You were saying something about a man who had a mustache and beard, and he must be a
man.
Is that
their relationship? Andriantel Spitz and Kofi Lissington, who sailed around Atka and Ada and Canada about 1758-1762, they say that old and respected men would have a mustache and a good beard, that young men didn't have whiskers and so on. So if we see a beard and whiskers, it's somebody of consequence. Yes, ma'am.
There was no depiction of children.
Pardon?
I didn't see any depiction of children, no painting of children, and no toys for children.
No.
This was not important to the Russian illustrator.
What Russian illustrator? Those were things done by Aleut Sapaga, with a few exceptions that were done by Aleuts of Alaska and points east that I showed for Congress.
Well, we started out with painting drawing.
Tikhonov paintings, of course, there was a baby. The paintings are, part of them are in Leningrad and part are in Estonia, in the Academy of Fine Arts.
Except for this baby, there are no teenagers, small children. It just seems to be adults now.
Mostly chiefs. Chiefs who came to call and check them when the ship was in port. Children were not brought to the ship.
There are some little children's dolls and toys. Were any of those types of things made in Athens?
I don't know. I have heard artifacts describe a toy just because they were small scale. I'm not sure that the description of them as toys is correct. Toys were made. But they're not represented here. Pardon?
What kind of thing? What variety of thing?
Whale figurines that the boys threw darts at, sort of an exercise in my
Any of the fur balls or the skin?
I don't know. You're trying to make an Eskimo. I see we have a drawing board. Would you demonstrate?
You might hold it up a bit more.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm not able to demonstrate it.
You made it under direction of Vasily Chiripanov? David, you made it? So why didn't you tell us about it?
The way he taught us was that all the measurements on this little thing was based on the individual's hand. And I can't remember exactly which was which. But
this is true. The throwing sticks were made to measure so that they, in length and also that they fitted the hunter's hand.
Over this way.
So there was a string to retrieve your
shaft. Yeah, after you hit what you wanted to hit, this little thing popped out here.
This is called a detachable harpoon head. Mm-hmm. And the spare shaft then floats and acts as a drag and slows the animal down. It ties the animal.
So then you relax it went up that long.
It should have been a sinew braided cord. And this type of, this is the Unalaska type throwing stick. Thank you very much.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Say good.
6.
6?
Yeah. Yeah. Not 6:30.
If you have a design for the sandwich sheet, for credit for the university,
I didn't sign it.
Where's the first thing?